Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Ididapod. I'm your host, Casey Grove. Coming up, we've got an interview with Lance Mackey. That is four-time Iditarod champion Lance Mackey. This interview is from a little ways back up the trail in the Cripple Creek checkpoint with Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes. Mackey, of course, has that string of championships between 2007 and 2010. But he has had a couple rough races the last few years, finished in 43rd place in 2015, scratched in 2016, and came in 26th place in 2019. He's been running pretty consistently in the top 20, at some points top 10 in this year's Iditarod. And Zach caught up with him in Cripple to talk about how he had been running such a good race this year, how his hands are doing, how he's dealing with this kind of chronic problem of keeping his hands warm. And Lance Mackey, just a great talker. He really has some perspective in all of his years mushing in the Iditarod. You can hear some planes taking off in this interview, but a lot of Lance Mackey reflecting and talking about how he is in the position that he is in. So here is Zachariah Hughes and Lance Mackey.
How was the run up from Ophir for you? I mean, just your team, and then also kind of just doing that stretch again?
Oh, it was memorable. Always a little chilly. One of the best trails I've saw on that section of trail. There was actually snow, which was beautiful. Normally it's tussocks and kind of hard, slow going, but had a nice little camp out there in the middle. Peaceful, yeah, uneventful. Real nice run.
How are your hands doing?
They're good for what they are. they're never going to be better. I mean, I don't know what temperature is right now. I got three hand warmers in each mitt. Just preventative maintenance, if nothing else. But, yeah, I mean, I've learned how to deal with it at a certain pain level. It's subsided to around here, so it's not as bad as it once was.
Was it then up above the head level?
Oh, big time, yeah. You know, in the most extreme. Yeah, let me give you a little example. See this finger right here?
Yeah.
It doesn't bend from here back. Right? It was completely dislocated for 9 months. I didn't even know it. And when the doctor asked me, he said, "So how did you do this that long without knowing it?" I said, "To be honest with you, that didn't hurt as bad as the rest of them, so I didn't even notice." 9 months, completely dislocated. So they pinned it all back together. I had pins in there for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, which is twice as long as normal. Then they removed them, I don't know, half a year, a little more than that, I guess, now. So the tip of my finger is still, I mean, I can almost make a fist again, but that's it.
Wow.
Right, so it's a little difficult.
How are you doing booties and stuff? I mean, I guess you're right-handed, I guess. But
I am, but like I said, you just learn how to do things a little differently. Not nearly as fast as I once was, but what I've learned is you don't have to be fast at anything if you can be smooth and consistent. So what it's done was slowed me down, but I still booty in the same time frame, just a little bit differently.
Is that how you're running a competitive race right now? I mean, after I remember seeing you last year, and it was in Unalakleet when we spoke, and you were hanging in there, but you were definitely having a hard time. And now you're in the front of the pack with everybody else. What's going on?
I mean, I don't know that I'm in a competitive race at the moment. I have a beautiful dog team. I have to chuckle. I keep getting asked this question, and how's it feel? And I, you know, it's been a while since I've been towards the front of the pack. But in all reality, there's 15 teams behind us that are probably the front of the pack. We're in the middle of the pack, probably. To me, I'm having a great race. I mean, I have a beautiful dog team, and I've had a beautiful dog team every year that I've been here. It's me that has held them back. And I told my woman at the beginning, you know, if the weather will allow, I might be able to be a little bit more competitive than I have in the past several years. But I'm not going to set myself up for disappointment by saying this team's capable of being in the top 10. Which it very much is. But if I come in 11th, I'm not going to be bummed, you know. Last year I took a different type of a trip. My race had different meaning, and it was very rewarding and very satisfying and one of the most memorable ever, even over the wins. I remember parts of those races, but I don't remember majority of them. I remember almost every stop last year. I had a blast, and I had the right reason and the right mind frame for that kind of run. I apologize to some of the people that I blew right past this year. Said, sorry, I'm in a little bit more of a race mode, but if, you know, we hit Unicleet and it's 50 below and the wind's blowing, well, I might be there an entire week. Who knows, you know? So right now we're just running dogs and enjoying the moment and not getting carried away with these unrational thoughts or daydreaming, if you will. But on Sunday when we pulled onto the lake in Willow, or onto the parking lot in Willow, I was probably the only person there not driving their own truck. So I really need a truck, right? That doesn't mean I'm going to end up with one. I might have to go buy one, but I couldn't help but think that on Sunday. I looked around, I'm like, you know, I've been in this position before. Then I started thinking, last time I drove this sled, I won. Then I followed that up with, you know, there's another champion that had 10 years in between his victories from 96 to 2006, Jeff never won. This would be my 10th year. So some things I can't help but think, they just pop in my mind. We have a long race left. I think I have team that could do great things if everything between here and there does well.
And for you, I mean, you'd want optimal is a little bit warmer temps for you to be able to...
If it maintained this temperature right now, I would be ecstatic. I'm not... I haven't looked at the weather forecast. I haven't heard the weather forecast until 5 minutes ago. I hadn't seen a timesheet, and when I did see, it was old, so it didn't make a difference. I was just... curious, I guess. No, I'm not getting wrapped up into anything except these 13 dogs now. And so far, they're the best show on the trail. Because I haven't seen anything else.
So you probably haven't been keeping up with the news about all that coronavirus stuff either, right?
I have not. I know it's around, and I know people are talking about it. And, you know, my dogs were vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. I think we're safe.
And how are your dogs doing? I mean, are they, they're eating, they're
dogs are doing great. Dogs are doing really good. I have one that's a little thin that actually doesn't belong to me and came to me a little thin. And I got a female leader in heat, which is causing a few of them to be a little silly, but she was the most affected by it. As odd as that sounds, she didn't want to eat. So now those are kind of coming to an end. She's a little bit better on this last run, and that's why I chose the 24 here. I was going to go actually all the way to Ruby, but because I think they're up for it. But she's a little too thin, and I don't want to leave her behind because of that. So we'll get another meal into her now. And continue doing what we're doing. I don't know if we're doing it right, but we're doing it.
Has anyone done that before, taken their 24 in Ruby?
I imagine there has been in the past. I don't know that, well, I can tell you it never played out as far as a victory for that team. I only know one off the top of my head, but I'm sure there's been more. I don't really care about those things and the stats and whatnot. Again, I'm running my team accordingly, and they look like they were easily ready to go another 80 miles before they had to stop. But you don't want to run them completely out of gas when they have to take it. You take it before they need it. And I took it before we needed it. Hopefully it'll pay dividends. I don't know what that means. I have five new dogs in this team from last year. So, well... Yeah. So the nine that I have right now, I know what they're capable of. They're all veterans. You know, last year, even though we weren't in a race per se, I had a race moment where I ran from Shaglik all the way over to Grayling. A nice long run, so that they knew potentially what they're getting themselves into maybe this year. So, again, I don't know. I mean, long ways to go, but at the moment, we look like we're in a decent position. We're still working with a nice team, and, you know, I'm up to par. So we'll see how it goes.
Are you having fun?
Well, I mean, not like I did last year. Last year was all about fun. Not that I'm not having fun this year. It's just a little bit more focus on not having so much fun. I'll tell you what. I had to get out of Ophir. Ophir is probably my favorite checkpoint of all of them, if I had to pick one. Lots of memories, good and bad, there. But them boys there, they like to suck you in a little bit, feed you good meals, and give you Irish cream coffees and things like that that I enjoy, and they're just so awesome there, and the checkpoint is very awesome. And
so cabin's so nice and cozy.
It really is. So I considered taking my 24 there, but I also thought if I did that, I might leave with a hangover. So we chose not to do that. But they were waiting for me. They were expecting me. They had. It's not a secret that I like Crown Royal and Bailey's and McCoffee. They had two big jugs of both waiting for me, expecting me to stay. So I politely made a couple copies, and then I had to go. So it was good. It was a nice visit. Short, very memorable. Hopefully I can get back there again.
Good. Sound great, man.
You know, I keep saying I'm doing great for what I'm working with, and I've learned over the years, you know, that there's a lot of things we can't change. So I've been doing a lot of accepting of the things that I can't change. And I just learned to do things a little differently or put certain things out of my mind. And your mind is a very powerful tool. And if you're in the right mind frame, your body will easily follow. That's how I feel. So, at the moment, I couldn't be more pleased with the first half of my race. Dogs are awesome. Weather's been awesome. We've got a couple cold nights, but nothing abnormal. We've had a cold winter at home. I pretty much have passed the buck and delegated things to handlers on the coldest times where they didn't sit, they were still, you know, doing their thing. I just wasn't behind them. Tried to save myself as much as possible so I can come abuse the shit out of myself for 8 days, you know. I know there's going to be a certain amount of days or areas that aren't going to be that pleasant, and I'm going to sacrifice a little bit of personal comfort. Right? And I knew going into this that those things happen and those areas are predictable. And I'm going to be miserable probably. But I would be more miserable sitting on the couch watching than being out here being miserable. Right? So knowing that, I already told myself coming into this race, there isn't anything about this race that's miserable. It is if you allow it to be. But, again, I've been here where I was 40 below from start to finish. That was miserable, but the end result was beautiful and I forgot all about it. So it's kind of along those lines. You know, right at the moment, I know if I sat here and, it's going to be windy in Shaktulik and I'm going to dwell on it, and all I can think about is the wind getting to Shaktulik, I'm probably not going to have a great time. I don't even really care if the wind's blowing a shack too. It's always blowing. Who cares, right? So we're gonna deal with it accordingly. I'm gonna have the right mind frame, you know. And as I've gotten older, I've become a little more sensitive in some departments, a little more stern in others. What I've done is I've allowed myself to start dwelling on some of the issues I have, which put me in a bad mind funk. And when you're down and you're dwelling on those things, they feed off that. And so I haven't, so several years now I haven't had the mind frame to come race. I wanted to be in the event because this is who I am. This is what I do, so I love to do. But I didn't, I let me get to me, something I'm not known for. But hey, I must be human, you know? And the older I get, and I'll tell you what's really brought it all on is having two young kids. All of a sudden, I find myself having some feelings that I didn't know I had. And, or if I had them, I tucked them away and I was, you know, I'm not known for being soft and emotional. But yet, I'm here I am, you know. So, I must be normal-ish. I'm in the right mind frame. I got a beautiful dog team, and that's what's keeping me somewhat energized. And you know, they went through all year training. They made the cut. They deserve to see the finish line. They don't know what. Man, they might know what it feels like to win, but if we come in 20th, they're gonna think they won anyway, because that's the way I'm gonna treat them. So. I'm just happy to be here. It's cool to be around these guys again. A lot of beautiful dog teams, and you know, couldn't help but think of some of the other times I was around some of these dog teams and how some of the races turned out. And you know, but that again, I'm not daydreaming about winning the Iditarod at the moment.
That was Iditarod veteran and four-time champ Lance Mackey talking with Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes earlier in the race at the Cripple Creek checkpoint. Stay tuned for another full episode of the Iditapod. I'm Casey Grove.